Hello, I'm Sarah Glover, WHYY's Vice President of News and Civic Dialogue. This two-part series, reported by Tom McDonald, uncovers an untold story about the horrific MOVE bombing that rocked the city of brotherly love 40 years ago. McDonald poured over 90 hours of the Philadelphia MOVE Commission hearings to refresh his storytelling and document a community in peril, as he reported from Osage Avenue 40 years ago. Content warning. This episode contains descriptions of violence, death, trauma, and a bomb.
40 years ago, the city of Philadelphia used a helicopter to drop a bomb the size of a backpack on a group of residents. The shocking end to a contentious standoff between police and MOVE, a Back to Nature group. It ended with 11 lives lost, 61 families displaced, and dozens of row homes destroyed by fire. I'm Tom McDonald, a reporter from WHYY News, who covered the deadly MOVE standoff that ended on May 13, 1985. This is MOVE at 40, Episode 2, The City That Bombed Itself. Over several weeks, I pored over more than 90 hours of recordings from WHYY's TV coverage of the inquiry that followed the bombing and subsequent fire that was allowed to burn through the neighborhood. The MOVE Commission held its hearings at our studios. Here's a look back at what the MOVE Commission uncovered about the days and weeks that led up to that fateful day.
Did you consider the MOVE organization to be a terrorist group?
Violation of fencing off your backyard.
What he did was politically expedient.
When MOVE refused to surrender, police opened up with tear gas and smoke.
6221 Osage Avenue wasn't just a home. It was a command center for MOVE. While MOVE emerged in the 70s as a Back to Nature movement, it eventually transformed into a black liberation group that later sparked controversy and tension with law enforcement. Some neighbors referred to the Osage Avenue home as an encampment. Most called it a compound. The windows were boarded up. Speakers were attached to the outside of the home. They blared day and night, with members of the group often screaming profanities. Neighbors were fed up. Police were frustrated, and the city decided to take action. Drastic action not seen before or since. That action left Philadelphia with a new nickname: the city that bombed itself.
It was one of the most devastating days in the modern history of this city.
That's William Brown, who chaired the MOVE Commission, a group created to investigate the city's decision to drop the bomb on the MOVE home and then let the neighborhood burn.
Nearly two square blocks of a comfortable residential area lay wasted by fire. 61 families, some 250 men, women, and children were homeless. Their achievements and aspirations consumed in the terrible fire that we all watched on our TV sets.
The MOVE Commission spent months interviewing key participants to determine what factors led to the bombing.
These hearings are a major phase in the search for answers. What we hope to accomplish is to begin healing the wounds caused by the failure to resolve conflicting lifestyles in a peaceful way. I want to tell you about this special commission because it is indeed special. Created solely for this task. We are a true citizens' commission, neither police nor prosecution. We are not accusatory. Instead, we are an investigatory. We find the facts and report them to you, the people.
They heard from neighbors who lived near the MOVE compound, like Cassandra Carter, who lived at 6233 Osage for 3 years. She told the commission she was attacked by members of the group as she headed to an exercise class one night.
Coming down Ray Street, I saw a little group of kids, and I was a little cautious. And I kept on walking and came down the street. And the closer I got, I recognized the dreadlocks on the two big kids. And as I passed them, one of the kids said, "That's that B from Osage. Let's get her." And I had a mat that you exercise on. And I turned and I said, I wouldn't advise that. I'm a full-grown woman, and I have no reason to be frightened of a child. But I was literally frightened. I told them, don't try it. But I didn't stand there and walk slowly. I hauled-tailed from 60th and Race to my church. When I got to church, they asked me what was wrong, and I told them. I didn't have to exercise that night.
She said MOVE members slept on the roof of the home and ran across their neighbors' rooftops virtually every night.
Normally, most people go to bed 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock. It would be like either they knew when your lights went out and gave you 15 minutes. And within 15 minutes after your lights went out, you could guarantee that you would hear this thud, 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 just like you would run on the parkway. Between the male and females, you could feel the weight and the dogs. They used our roofs as their playing ground.
Another neighbor, Betty Mapp, said residents were fed up with the group. She said MOVE used outdoor speakers to wake up the community with their messages, even on Christmas Day.
Yes, I think they, through the 2 years and a half, they knew that we had had it. And I really think they felt that, because they had 2 years and a half.
Carter and Mapp explained how the group would use young children as a shield right up until the day before the final confrontation, when they felt threatened by authorities.
On the front step of the MOVE house, three or four of the kids were sitting on a landing. A couple of them was placed on the back fence in back of the MOVE house. Sunday morning, they were still there.
Whenever they wanted to do something, they would make sure that the children were visible. At some time, they used to have the children on the bullhorn. Those children were almost as dangerous to some people as the adults were, because they were being trained in the same tactics as the adults were. And they would put the kids out as visible points, and they stand behind them and, you know, say whatever they had to say, using a child as a shield.
Former city councilman and U.S. Congressman Lucian Blackwell represented the area. He said it was time to break up the MOVE encampment for many reasons, one of which was the construction of what he called a bunker on the roof of the compound. That worried police because it gave the group a tactical advantage.
There were L&I violations. No one's allowed to build a bunker. Any addition that you build to your home, you have to get a permit. It's my understanding they never received a permit. Violation of fencing off your backyard, that's a violation. A violation of keeping 20 or 30 dogs in your backyard, that's a violation. A violation of keeping the kind of home that they had, that's a violation. A violation of keeping a loudspeaker going 24 hours a day, that, in my estimation, it was a violation of civil rights of the people who lived in that area. And so I, once again, disagree with those people who say that there were no violations.
There were multiple reasons for the city to act, said Managing Director Leo Brooks. He pointed to things like the group's use of loudspeakers and things they said to neighbors, which had many upset and worried.
What I was aware of is the plethora of testimony and rumors and whatnot from people that the MOVE individuals had been broadcasting over the loudspeaker that we're going to tear up the neighborhood and we'll burn it down and all sorts of things of that nature. And I suspect that's probably what's the strength of that affidavit.
Brooks also said city officials were never sure about exactly how strong the bunker on the home's roof was built, and that uncertainty was a major concern.
The bunker had around its outside plywood, which was very deceiving. It looked like some plywood shacks up there, when underneath of that plywood was in fact reinforcing timbers.
Former Pennsylvania governor and Philadelphia mayor Ed Rendell was district attorney at the time of the 1985 MOVE confrontation. He was questioned by commission member Audrey Bronson.
Did you consider the MOVE organization to be a terrorist group?
Absolutely.
If so, in what sense?
Because they had demonstrated a past history of violence. They had demonstrated a willingness to use the violence force or the threat of violence or force to achieve their objectives, that it was almost difficult, if not well nigh impossible, to deal with them on any rational basis, that their stated goals as a group that was a back to nature group were frankly a bunch of bull. In 78, I don't know if you recall, but the Quakers made available to them as an effort, in an effort to break the logjam and the siege.
Do you know this for a fact, that the Quakers...
Oh, yes. It was in the newspapers, and it was covered on TV, and the MOVE members, I think, were pretty vociferous about their response. The Quakers offered a farm area in Bucks County for them to go to, and there was also some talk of farms in Richmond for them to go to, where they could live out their individual lifestyle without the tensions and problems that would create in a concentrated, dense urban area, and they rejected it. Simple as that. So there's no question. People who have killed one person, injured several others, people who threatened to blow up people's houses, people who threatened to shoot and kill neighbors, police, elected officials, I think that's a pretty adequate description of the word terrorist.
The MOVE standoff with police started on Mother's Day, May 12th, when nearby neighbors were evacuated before police tried to arrest MOVE members at 6221 Osage. Rendell said he didn't advise the city on what level of force was appropriate to make those arrests, but added when the first shot was fired by people inside the home, the rules changed.
Whatever force was justified when they went out with the warrants, that all changed instantaneously in the eyes of the law when the MOVE members opened up with firearm fire. Once the MOVE members started firing, their status changed radically in the eyes of the law. They, at that point, became forcible felons.
Rendell went on to say once a shot was fired, that turned MOVE members into criminals, giving authorities the ability to defend against injury.
And there's a whole different set of laws as to the apprehension and the amount of force that can be used in the apprehension of and the prevention of the escape of forcible felons.
Once the standoff started, police fired 10,000 rounds of ammunition into or over the building, according to accounts given during the commission hearings. Ultimately, the decision on how to end the standoff rested with then-Mayor Wilson Good. Good said he relied on his experts to come up with a plan that he approved. In hindsight, the mayor expressed doubts that the city was actually prepared for what they did.
I'm of the opinion that at that point in time, that my reliance was on what I knew at that time. If you're asking me now whether or not they are experts in carrying out the kind of mission that was there, I would have some questions about that at this point in time.
The mayor was given a summary of the plan to attack MOVE and then decided to rely on the experts to get the job done.
At that point in time, there were no questions. The police commissioner came in. He was confident. He gave me assurance. Everything was under control. And I don't know what else I can do as a mayor other than to rely upon those people I appoint in jobs to make those decisions. I really, there's a difference in my view between being hands-on and meddling. At this point in time, I can say to you that I had received sufficient amount of information to be assured that there was a workable and sound plan, and there was no need for me to become further involved in those details.
Good told the commission he never went to the scene because he was afraid of being shot if he went out to Osage Avenue.
And I heeded, although I think sometimes people over-exaggerate, and sometimes we overcompensate for that over-exaggeration. But I can say to you there was sufficient concern on my part for my continuing to live that I decided not to go to the scene.
The mayor had a somber admission during his testimony.
I made mistakes in this process.
Laverne Sims was the sister of MOVE founder John Africa. She told the commission of her opinion of Mayor Good.
What he did was politically expedient rather than godfully obedient. As it was not God he was obeying, but his constituents, and he was wrong.
Sims said MOVE members were not the people many thought they were. Once the city decided to confront members of MOVE in their home, police started evacuating neighbors on Mother's Day weekend. Homes around the MOVE compound were emptied in an abundance of caution. Police Commissioner Greg Sambor said, from the beginning of the planning, they did not want to hurt anyone.
I believe, sir, that it was my duty to serve the warrants, and consistent with that, to protect life as much as possible. All lives, not just the children's.
This was not the first confrontation between police and MOVE. That happened in Powhatan Village in 1978, ending in the death of police officer James Ramp, who was killed in the standoff. MOVE members have said they believe Ramp was killed by friendly fire. That history made many police even more cautious of MOVE the second time around.
We were asked to devise a plan that would result in the arrest of MOVE members for whom there were outstanding warrants.
Sergeant Albert Revel was among those who were part of devising a plan for the 1985 action.
It was to be done under circumstances never before encountered by the Philadelphia Police Department.
Revel said there was quite a contrast between the first confrontation with MOVE and this one.
Unlike the confrontation with MOVE in 1978 at their home in Powhatan Village, this home on Osage Avenue was, in its structure, so entirely unique that many new problems had to be addressed and many new options had to be explored and considered. The major concern was getting all the residents of the MOVE house out alive.
He said one particular issue came to mind as he was doing his pre-planning.
On one of my visits to the area during this planning stage, I was standing in the alleyway on Osage, and a little boy came up to me, and he tugged on my jacket sleeve, and he said, "Mr. Policeman, are you going to help us?" I looked down at him and back up at that house, and I said, "Son, I'm going to try." Well, I did try.
Revel said many people worked hard to have a successful conclusion, but the results were not what anyone expected.
The neighbors tried. The clergy tried. The police and fire departments tried. And the city tried. As I walked away from that scene, after being on duty for 26 hours, I could feel the heat of that fire on my back. And deep in my heart, I knew we had failed.
Mayor Good admitted during his testimony he didn't know every element of the tactical plan, and he entrusted the people he hired to do their jobs in this situation.
Yes, I was aware that essentially I had given to the police commissioner and to the managing director the authority to implement an overall plan. And that overall plan was to safely evacuate the house, to protect the lives of police officers and firefighters, to protect civilians in the area by evacuating them, and that their job was to implement the plan. It is my view that they made every attempt to carry out that plan, that the tactics which they use, though not all approved by me, I'm convinced were geared to carry out that plan. And therefore, I need not be personally aware of every single tactic they would use in order to achieve that plan, in order to be supportive of it overall.
Commission member Cherise Lilly said she believed there was racism in the decision.
What we are really talking about here is institutional racism. And institutional racism, but this really goes beyond the fact of whether or not you have a black mayor or a black managing director. What we are talking about is those kind of unseen factors that will affect decisions of government. And the point of this comment is that people in decision-making positions have to be conscious and aware of that.
Mayor Good and Managing Director Brooks were both black. Police Commissioner Sambor and Fire Commissioner Richmond white. Mayor Good said during the commission hearings, even with the outcome of the standoff, he wouldn't have changed his mind about ending the encampment.
The people of the city elected me to make decisions. Tough ones, easy ones. It's my job to protect them, protect life, and preserve property. And I made a decision. And throughout the day on May 13th, I made a series of decisions. I'm not suggesting to you at all that because of the implementation of that decision, in any way, shape, or form, that It is not a part of my decision-making process at all. And I'm not sure how you define the word blame. There's not a man up here who's not going to, the rest of his life, live with this throughout. There's no one who's not going to ever not wonder whether or not something different could have been done. And I'm not sure what it is that you want in the end as a result of this. Lives were lost. People lost their homes. The city lost part of its public image.
The commission's final report was issued in March of 1986. It determined that dropping a bomb on an occupied row house was, quote, unconscionable, unquote, and that the city's plan was, quote, reckless, ill-conceived, and hastily approved, unquote. The report also said city leaders, including Mayor Good, were, quote, grossly negligent, and that they, quote, clearly risked the lives of the children who were killed in the house. Mayor Good won re-election in 1988. Move at 40 is a production of WHYY News. I'm Tom McDonald, reporter and fill-in host at WHYY. Our executive producer is Sarah Glover, WHYY's Vice President of News and Civic Dialogue. Our editor is Mark Eichmann, WHYY News Senior Managing Editor. Our engineer is Charlie Kyer. Some of the audio provided by the Temple University Archives, which houses the WHYY broadcast of the MOVE Commission. Funding for this podcast has been provided by WHYY. Please rate and review this content wherever you get your podcasts and share on social media. Visit WHYY.org for more news content on the MOVE bombing. Thank you for listening and engaging.